Hello and welcome to another Movie Roast. I'm your host, Scott, and you can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I'm here with Brian, you can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. And we're here with Mike, you can find on Twitter at Review and Roast. You can find all of our written reviews at ReviewandRoast.com and all of our podcasts at ComicRoast.com. You can find our Facebook at Facebook.com/ReviewandRoast, our Instagram at Instagram.com/ReviewandRoast, or at Instagram.com/StarWarsTabletop. Oh, I feel like there was a lot of dot coms in there.
There was a couple, two or three at least.
That was kind of annoying. Today we're here to talk to you about the latest in the Star Wars films. Star Wars The Last Jedi. Does it deserve all of the absolute hate that it's getting? No, it doesn't. So thank you and we're out of here. Basically, you know, this is the sequel to The Force Awakens, which introduced us to Rey and Poe Dameron and Finn and BB-8. And basically, the more I watch The Force Awakens, the more I enjoy The Force Awakens. Not that I hated it at all to begin with, but I did. You can't help but notice that it's basically a reimagined New Hope.
Very similar.
It's still a super fun movie, and it gets better every time I see it. But holy cow, you could probably overlay the dialogue from one movie and play it over the next. The Last Jedi, personally, without going into the whole deets yet, I am glad they did not go that route. They did not basically rewrite the next movie. From the 80s,
I feel like they did a little bit.
Well, that's interesting, and maybe we can get to that.
And not really, but yeah.
Huh. I feel like they kind of took a chance on this by writing something different, but I guess we'll find out as we go along.
In due time.
So basically, in this movie, it picks up right where Force Awakens left off. So Rey is on the island with Luke Skywalker. She hands him the lightsaber. He kind of looks at it with that look of, what am I looking for here? Oh, disgust, as he decides to throw it over his shoulder off the cliff into the water, basically saying, I'm fucking over this shit, son.
Yep. Which is actually pretty hilarious.
It was super hilarious, talking to the mic. That'd be great.
Talking to the mic.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yep. Drink into the mouth next time, fucking fat
drink cell. Into the mic.
I just spilled it all over the fucking place. Anywho, so it goes from there, and you have the resistance is being chased down by
the First Order.
Thank you.
Hey, there he is.
Holy cow.
Welcome to the podcast.
They're being chased down by the First Order, and they are diminishing in numbers greatly.
Yeah, it basically starts off more along the lines of they're kind of making some moves, and they get picked up by a couple of Star Destroyers. They bring in a Dreadnought, which is like the giant, huge ship, for lack of a better way to put it. And basically, another hilarious scene is Poe Dameron flies out to meet the Dreadnought.
Yep.
And he hails the ship, and he's looking for Admiral Hux. And there's kind of a little dialogue there that's actually pretty funny, because he's on hold for General Hux, but Hux is actually talking, and he's playing the whole, like, can you hear me now game, and it's actually kind of funny. So the First Order's kind of scoffing at him, like, what's one little ship going to do? And then he basically goes into attack position, he goes after him, yada yada. And the other general of the Dreadnought is actually like, hey, dummies, he's clearing out our surface cannons. Like, he's not trying to take the ship out. He's trying to take the ship's defenses away, which he's doing quite well at, by the way. And the fleet then brings out their bomber ships, blah, blah, blah. They're making big moves.
Cool bombers, by the way.
For sure, actually. Yeah, I mean, this movie, I think, had Right off the bat, I'm going to go ahead and say it has more action than almost any Star Wars movie prior to.
Agreed.
Now, in the prequels, there was a lot of action. Those movies are renowned as not being the greatest, but they do have some pretty good action sequences as well. This one, though, really, and Rogue One had a lot of good ones. A lot of movies, they always have a lot of good action, but this one actually takes the cake, for lack of a better phrase. It just really does. It starts off action-packed. There's some slowdowns, but then it's sequence after sequence of different things that are actually pertinent to what's going on, so it makes it even better, in my opinion. What do you got? Nothing?
I was just amazed at how much you could talk without breathing, but that's cool.
Word.
What about Brian over here?
What about it?
I don't know. Any initial thoughts before we dive into the meat and potatoes here?
The first 10 minutes, I was prepared to hate the movie. Because when he started joking, I was like, all right, I've seen Spaceballs. That movie rules, but I don't want to see it again. I mean, I do want to see it again, but I don't want to see...
Spaceballs is awesome.
I don't want to see Star Wars doing the Spaceballs thing. So I was like...
Yeah, but every movie nowadays got to keep it light.
Oh, that's fine. But I was like, this is a little bit too, like... Hey, I felt like Rodney Dangerfield was flying the thing. And I was like, this is so fucking stupid. I'm like, I was falling asleep during the trailers. I'm super tired anyway. This is how this movie's starting. I pretty much am ready to check out any minute now. And that was the first 10 minutes.
I am the complete opposite of that, personally. I thought it was good. I thought it was what this movie, what they need, really. Because, honestly, at this point in time in movie-going America, if you have a serious movie, people just fucking hate it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, everybody's trying. Why are they trying to be so dark? Or, you're like, oh, how it wasn't dark enough. It's like, geez.
It doesn't matter, dude. Nobody is ever happy with anything anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone already goes into a movie thinking about the way they should, that it should be done. And if it's not done that way, they complain. It's like, okay, well, dude, then take your happy ass to Hollywood and make that movie.
If that's the movie you want to see.
Huh?
I said I'm Captain Cannon, but I still enjoy these movies.
Yeah, there's so many people online talking about this is not my Star Wars movie. It's not part of the canon. I refuse to blah, blah, blah. It's like, all right, dude. Fucking settle down.
Yeah, unfortunately.
That's not how Luke Skywalker acts.
Unfortunately, it is the canon now, so
yeah.
Sorry.
You know, here's the only thing I'm going to say to that. You know, a lot of people were complaining about, you know, he just went off and pouted while the galaxy fell apart, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, guess what? Have you ever seen A New Hope? He is the biggest fucking crybaby any movie I've ever seen.
It's not even that part of A New Hope. Do you know which part of A New Hope it actually is? The part where old man Obi-Wan has been hiding on a planet for 40 fucking years. That's the part. Well, actually, it's more like 20 years. But still, that's the part. What about the part in The Empire Strikes Back where Yoda's been hiding on a planet for about 24 fucking years now?
Yeah, so but that's not my Luke Skywalker.
It's not uncommon for the Jedi Master that has totally botched the whole situation he's been given, and then they go into recluse. Like, it's happened with arguably two of the greatest Jedis that there are. So
now three.
Just saying, yeah, definitely three. So I'm just saying, like, take it easy.
Yeah.
Word.
The guy created the, you know, after Obi-Wan created Darth Vader, allegedly, he went onto Tatooine. I mean, he had the secret mission of protecting Luke, blah, blah, whatevs.
Yeah.
But still, you ain't doing dick.
Right.
What about Yoda? On Dagobah, hanging out with snakes and crickets and shit. He ain't doing dick.
Right.
Word.
Shit's falling around. My man's out there slaughtering the rest of the Jedi. Well, you two guys ain't doing dick. Yoda, the only guy that probably could have fucking stopped him, ain't doing dick.
Right.
Word.
All right, let's get into some shit.
Well, and here's the other thing. It's like 30 fucking years later.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit that can go down that can break a man's spirit.
Been happening.
You know what I mean?
Been going down.
Shit's been happening. Anywho.
And Nirvana broke up.
Yeah, right? Jesus, that's harsh, man.
Yeah,
harsh.
But then we got the Foo Fighters. Come on.
Right.
Silver lining. Go ahead.
All right, so I guess we'll dive into some specifics about what we liked about this movie. One of my favorite parts, and it's totally probably
one of my favorite parts already? Jesus.
Well, just part of some of the things we liked. I'm just starting with one of my favorite parts. It's probably going to be like, really? But I know some people will probably agree. After Luke finally decides to start training Rey, and he's got her sitting on a rock, and he's like, oh, hey, now reach out and feel the Force. And he's got her eyes closed, and she's like literally reaching out, which is totally not what he meant. But then she's like, and then he just takes the leaf, and he starts like playing with her hand, and he's like, can you feel it? She's like, oh, my God, I feel it. And he fucking slapped her.
It's like, oh, my God, it's the Force.
Right? That, I just about peed my pants when I saw.
Brian probably didn't like it because it was too comical for him. Go ahead.
I thought it was hilarious.
I hated it.
Did you really?
No.
Oh. I actually forgot about it until just now. That was honestly a hilarious part because he's sitting there with like a reed in his hand for some reason, obviously to move the story along. But yeah, when she reaches out, he kind of just tickles her hand. Oh, man. And then he like cracks her.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, you meant like, and then she points at like the heart and he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
It was actually, I don't know. There was some honest to goodness, like good comedic moments that I don't think took away from the story in any way.
No, not at all. And here's one of the things I like too, because like in the prequels, you had Darth Maul, arguably one of the baddest ass looking characters mm-hmm. with the coolest lightsaber you never seen before. He got 5 minutes of screen time and he fucking he's gone. I love the fact that in these movies, Kylo Ren is the new badass, and he's there, and he's a main character.
And he's doing stuff.
He's doing stuff. Because like,
even if you go take it back to A New Hope, and even Empire Strikes Back, Vader being one of the arguably the baddest asses of the badasses, not really a lot of time.
No.
If you think about it, I mean, how much he's not out there slicing and dicing motherfuckers. You know what I mean?
Right.
Not until the end of Rogue One, which is probably the greatest scene in the history of, well, it's definitely the greatest scene in the history of Darth Vader.
Yeah.
But it might be the greatest scene in the history of ass whoopings, I think.
Yeah.
Especially in a sci-fi genre. Like, when that happened, I'm 90% sure I had, like, a panic attack or something. Something happened at the end of Rogue One, and it hurt. Like, I was having
a mini stroke
chest pains. Like, literally, when it was happening, like, I couldn't even control my breathing.
Yeah.
That's kind of type of guy I am, but anyways, go on.
There's really, in my opinion, there's just too much about this movie to like to name it all. I mean, but there were definitely some key scenes that I really, you know, like I said, the stupid thing with the hand, and actually I really liked when Finn and Rose took off onto that planet of the rich people or whatever to find the cryptologist or the whatever.
Spoiler alert, we get a little Benicio del Toro in this movie, which
I
did not disappoint.
No, I fucking, he needs to be in more stuff.
Yeah.
But actually,
him
I think
and Jeff Goldblum need to make a buddy movie.
That would be hilarious, but it could be really, well, I'm sure Netflix is working on it already. that whole like scene was awesome too.
No, there were some good items in that, and that was your quintessential like side action pod racing scene, I guess.
Yeah, but the pod racing scene was terrible.
See, and people love it, and I hate it.
I don't understand why they love it.
I don't know. There, a lot of people like think that was the coolest
thing. The last time I watched that movie, I'm going to try my hardest to like this pod race. And when it started, I'm like, all right, it's kind of badass. 45 minutes later, I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is still going.
Yeah.
That's what kills it. It's way too fucking long.
Are you talking about Phantom Menace?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think we should talk about that movie.
That's fine.
I like to consider that movie not a movie, but just a mistake that happened.
The movie's not bad, but that pod race
like
kills
Zubaz
it.
Pants.
Yeah. There's some. Yeah. Anywho, so
it's funny. The part that people love about that movie is the part that I think ruins it.
Yeah, I know.
I love nothing about that movie except all the things that I hate about that movie, which is everything. That was the worst movie I've ever seen.
Oh, son!
It's pretty much the worst movie I've ever seen.
I'll watch it again.
Have
to bring up Mindhorn
to confirm how much I hate it, but I hate everything about it. Everything.
So what did you like about The Last Jedi?
What did I like about The Last Jedi?
That's what I said.
I like the fact that Oscar Isaac is the best actor in that entire movie, and he gets overshadowed by like five other people.
That's all you got? You want to go into a little more depth there?
I think I just kind of spelled it all out right there, but I mean, if
you love that he's the best, but you love that
he's
wasn't
the
best in this movie?
In terms of acting ability overall, he is the best actor in that movie in terms of overall acting, and his acting in that movie is overshadowed by several other actors in that movie.
Well, let's
which
get
speaks
list.
To how great the movie is.
Well, let's have the list of these other great actors.
Rey was okay in The Force Awakens. She really kind of envelops this character and role a lot more in this movie.
She kills it.
Emperor Snoke just goes to show you that Andy Serkis should get an award for all the non-acting he does because he's really good at being not himself.
Yes.
Adam Driver, if you had shown me a picture of Adam Driver five years ago and not told me a thing about him other than just, here's a photo of a dude who's going to be in the new Star Wars, I'd have been like, that guy manages Abercrombie and Fitch, and he sucks, and I don't need to see anything. He fucking just destroys this role. Like, I liked him in the first one, but I felt like he's basically just, you know, trying to be Darth Vader. But this movie, he really kind of envelops four dimensions. Like, he kind of just, I don't know, like, he's, like, got all this ability. Possibly more actual ability than his grandfather had. And he can't get out of his own way. And it just makes the character so compelling to watch.
I couldn't agree
more. Because he is, like, the mad god.
Dude, I honestly thought you were about to go the opposite way and say that he sucked.
No.
Like, and I was going to be like, man, that's a 180.
No. No, he is, like, the mad, like, God King with the petulant, like, just temper tantrum constantly, and he's got all the ability in the world, and he can't really use it to his best ability because he's too busy living in Darth Vader's shadow.
And here's the thing about that guy, just real quick, because you actually, basically, when we podcasted The Force Awakens, you actually were the one that talked me into actually liking him, because I wasn't a huge fan, like most of the world, I think. Then we did our podcast, and in that podcast, we talked about it. I'm like, hey, you know what? I fucking think I get it. And I watched that movie, obviously, probably 8 or 9 times more, possibly more than that. And then I'm like, yeah, you know what? For sure. Then in this movie, honestly, he might be one of the better villains that has been, like, on the fucking screen.
I would,
like, right now, he's, like, honest to goodness, like, way up there.
I know people will probably be like, what the fuck? But for me, this movie, this is going to pretty much give away where my score is going to land. This was the Dark Knight of the Star Wars franchise for me.
So it's like a 4.
No, it's like, holy fuck, this is way better than I am. Like, when I saw the trailers, I'm like, yeah, the trailers look cool, but the trailers for Rogue One look cool, and I was kind of like, eh, on that movie. Trailers for Force Awakens look cool, and I was like, yeah, this is a great remake of the first movie with new people. This movie, I went into this movie going, eh, if I get a 6.5 out of it, I'll be amazed. And I was like, afterwards, I'm like, fuck, I want to watch it again. Mm-hmm. That was,
I did,
really, really way better than I expected.
Yeah.
No,
and that's when I remember where I was asking, because I went with James and his brother, I was like, isn't J.J. Abrams doing the next one? He goes, yeah, I think so. I go, they need to fix that now. He can't touch this fucking franchise again, because I think Rian Johnson needs to just be the guy for, like, the next 8 movies, because this is way better than J.J. Abrams did on the last. Like, this is a fucking gigantic leap for me from Force Awakens. Force Awakens, I'm sure if I watch it again, I'm like, yeah, it's a fun movie. Oh, like, the first time fun. I saw the first Hobbit movie, I was kind of like, yeah, it's cool. I've since watched it again, and I like. Here's the thing. I know most people are like, God, the fucking Hobbit first movie was so long. So I watched the Extendo version with like 40 more minutes, and I was like, man, that's how it should have been. And for me, the first Hobbit movie is greatly enhanced by the second and third movies, which are really fucking good. This movie may make that happen for Force Awakens. I may go back and watch it going, all this matters now because I know what's coming.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. That's for sure, because, to be honest, after I watched it, I went home and watched Force Awakens, and then literally the next day, I went back and saw the movie again. So it was a lot of Star Wars in, like, a 16-hour period for me, but not really. It was kind of...
No, like, this movie's got me, like, way more, like, excited about the overall Star Wars universe now than I've ever been. And like I said, after I saw it, I'm like, I can't claim to be the ultimate Star Wars nerd. I know a little bit. I've always thought the thing had potential, but I never really got super into it the way other people have. But I'm like, this is the movie that makes me want to, like, get the shirt, all the action figures.
So you think Star Wars is finally going to take off, huh?
No, I just... For me,
I think you're onto something.
For me, like, it resonated with other kids other more than it did me, because I didn't see the first movie in the theater because I was one. I may or may not have seen Empire.
The only thing I saw in the theater was Return of the Jedi, I think every kid in our age group did.
I didn't.
I think I was the only kid in the neighborhood that didn't see Empire Strikes Back in the theater. And then Return of the Jedi came out, and I saw it, and I thought it was great at the time.
Yeah, because
and then
six.
There was nothing again until I was 23 years old, and I was like, oh, this thing's still around? Weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then everybody went to see Phantom Menace, and I was like, oh, I'll wait and see what everybody says. And everybody was like, it sucks! And I was like, well, I guess I don't need to get into Star Wars. Yeah. So I didn't bother, because the prequels kept coming out, and everyone kept saying, man, I can't wait to see it. And then a day later, like, man, that movie was terrible. And I'm like, I don't need to get into Star Wars.
You know what? It's the Batman versus Superman syndrome. Everybody hates it, but everyone goes to see it three or four fucking times.
Mm-hmm.
So they can talk about how much they hate it. Like,
and again, I don't think the prequels were all that great, to be honest. But I feel like they're a necessary evil at this point in time in our lives.
I recently went back in the last, 2 years and rewatched all of the Star Wars movies.
Oh, I want to go buy them all right now just because, and I can't watch Last Jedi again until like April.
The only part of the prequels that I don't like is the pod race. Yes, Jar Jar Binks can be annoying, but like overall, when you start going down the Google rabbit hole of how he's a secret Jedi, it just makes it kind of funny.
Man, if he really was a secret Sith, that would actually be the dopest thing ever, because they actually go through some of them scenes. It's like, there's no way he's this clumsily amazing.
Right.
Like, it's all part of the shtick, and I'm like... Right.
That makes that movie so much better.
I think this guy's...
Did you hear
dark,
the rumors? He's a dark speaking Jedi. Of which, that the next Star Wars Destiny set's going to have Jar Jar Binks in it.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm surprised he's not.
Yeah.
Apparently he's going to be an epic character or some kind of elite something.
That'd be awesome.
Well, he'll probably have some like crazy stupid ability that's like sheer
that's
luck.
That's the rumor,
you know what
right?
I mean?
Yeah.
That well, the rumor, be... there's no rumor.
His dice are all three hits.
There's mm-hmm. nothing confirming that he's in the set, but that's the rumor going around. And the rumor is not only is he going to be in the set, he's going to be like one of the best cards.
Dude, if they pick up on that, they'll probably make it a thing.
Oh, I don't
why
see
why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have to.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the fact that the movie's like 2.5 hours long as well.
Okay, the movie is long.
Super aren't they all long. 2.5 hours long?
I don't know that The Force Awakens was. I think that was more in the 2 hour range. Where, like, this movie, honestly, the second time I watched it, so I obviously knew it was super long. You go through, like, all of this shit in the movie, and you're like, man, this movie could probably just end right now. But it's still got like 40 minutes left, you know, where they basically move, like I was saying earlier, action to action to action. They basically move from the space battle to a planet side battle, which is actually, again, pretty awesome. We get a little appearance by Luke Skywalker, which is super dope. Not really much of a spoiler. I mean, obviously, we know he's going to be in the movie. But I did want to talk about the fact that this movie, to me, took aspects of Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi and kind of mashed them all into one.
No? Speak your piece.
Oh, I thought you were giving me like the
no.
shut it up.
I am not as familiar with, you know, Star Wars as you are.
Them?
Oh, I've seen them a couple times over the last 40 fucking years.
Well, I sort of really thought at the end of the first movie that it was going to be very similar to Empire Strikes Back for the whole movie, in as far as it's going to be the Jedi training movie, sort of like Empire Strikes Back, where you go to Dagobah, you do some stuff, and don't go because, you know, if you leave now, you don't complete your training and this, that, and the other thing.
Oh, boss, that's amazing.
So I sort of really thought that that's exactly how it was going to be. Which it didn't turn out to be very – it didn't stay that way. Let's just put it that way, because it did start out to be that way as far as she was concerned, where, you know, the rest of the team is doing stuff. They're getting themselves into some shit, and she's probably going to have to leave to go save some stuff. So in that aspect, it did sort of bode the same way. Then there is a scene, because in this movie we get to see Snoke right away. Which was very, very, very reminiscent of when Vader brings Luke in to meet the Emperor.
Right.
All the way down to the fact where the Emperor tells Luke, look out the window, those are all your dudes getting shot up. In this movie, Snoke does the exact same thing. hey, Ray, look out the window. The rebellion.
There's
over.
All your dudes getting shot.
Yeah, I mean, literally, almost verbatim. Very, very similar. Leading into one of the other best scenes in action-packed action that there is, without giving too much away again, which is tough to do in this movie because there's, I feel like everything's got something to do with something. I mean, the movie, for being, I guess, getting back to the point, for being 2.5 hours long, there's not a ton of filler. You know what I mean? Everything's got a point, I think, for the most part.
Yeah.
There was a point towards the end where I was like, they're overstuffing this movie to the point where a next movie is not going to be worth making because they're putting a lot into this. But then when it ended, I was like, all right, I think they capped it just at the...
Yeah, like literally...
Just at the point where
it
was
a little
like,
shit
okay.
bubbled over and they got the cap on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was... Yeah, I just want to get mad.
Well, what... Let's move into the what we didn't like.
I can tell you exactly what I really
I got a few things from my list. I got a really
hateful part and the point when what I alluded to earlier when Snoke says, "Hey, look out the window, all your dudes are getting shot up in space." So what happened was I forget the admiral's name who took over from Jurassic Park.
Shit.
Look her up. So it's the chick from the original Jurassic Park.
Laura Dern.
So she's the acting admiral.
Vice Admiral Holdo.
Okay. So that chick. So basically she's got a plan and there's stuff and things going on. So she's got the fleet evacuating from the main flagship, Mon Calamari flagship. And she's basically the cover, let's say. Well, the First Order figures it out. They start blasting these transports out of the sky. Well, she comes up with this brilliant plan to, like, do some awesome shit. And it's actually another amazing scene.
Yep.
Amazing scene. The problem is she waited until they blew up 15 or 16 of the fucking ships before she decided, hey, I'm going to do some stuff. Like, dude, you sat there and watched this happen for legitimately 30 minutes of the movie. I mean, maybe 25 minutes of the movie. Then you're like, oh, I'm going to turn this ship around and give them to
business.
Wasn't
she waiting for everybody else to get off the ship first?
No, dude. Everybody was already, like, way gone. Like, yeah, she was on the ship by herself because if you remember, Leia specifically told Poe, like, oh, she's still there, like, taking care of business when he woke up. Because he was like, oh, shit, I fucked up. Like, I was trying to do some stuff, like, the rogue that I am. And literally, they start firing on the transports, blow about half of them out of the space, and then she's like, oh, I got an idea. It was like, dude, you already knew that that was your idea all along, because whatevs, and you literally waited till everybody in the Resistance was dead, pretty much, until there was like five ships left. So that was one of the things that I thoroughly did not enjoy very much.
Well, speaking to that scene, I feel like, I mean, I understand you're trying to show that the First Order is dominating and the Resistance is all but fucking gone, but you took it too far, I think, with killing off almost everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, you know, they've hinted in all the years that, you know, Leia has basically Force Light. She's not straight up a Jedi, but she, you know, they always hint at, you know, she can feel things, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But she's never really shown anything, really.
Other than communicating with Luke in the original movies. In the non-canon now books,
yeah.
She has a it's a little more than that.
Well, either way, I thought, seeing as though Carrie Fisher is now passed away, I felt like her, you know, with Kylo's, you know, struggling, that's my mom, I can't do it, and then someone else blasts her.
Great scene.
She's dead.
Great scene.
In the vacuum of space. You don't survive. And then all of a sudden she opens her fucking frosted over eyes and fucking forced her way back to the ship. I did not like that at all. Like,
I kind of did.
I thought you had, like, the perfect send-off for...
Yeah, but the movie was already made, dude. They couldn't change the next hour and a half because she died in real life.
Well,
that was
she
kind of
spent
the problem.
The rest of the time.
Well, yeah, but she was very critical in the last scene.
I don't know.
The last couple of scenes, she was
uber critical.
I feel like it would have been easy to cut her out of the rest of the movie and leave it the way
they would
it
have
was.
Had to literally redo the entire movie.
I don't think so entirely. They but had anywho, the movie done. Anywho, either way, having her survive that, whether she was alive, dead, or not, I feel like was a bit much.
I was more pissed, spoiler alert, that one of the people that were blown off the bridge was Ekbar. Not too happy about that.
Right.
Not gonna lie, that was my main fish right there.
The other thing, see, there was a couple other things I wanted to bring up that I wasn't like super fond of, and now it's just completely escaping me.
Admiral Ekbar does make an appearance in Star Wars Rebels, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, outside of basically destroying almost the entirety of the Rebels, I feel like that they went really a little too far on that. I feel like Leia probably should have just, you know, no offense, better off dead.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, I'm going to take a little offense. That was kind of pimpy. Go ahead.
Other than that, I'm not by any means saying there was nothing else that I didn't kind of go, eh, but I
just
saw it.
There was
once.
Just a few things that were too little, too late. Where
I mean, there's the little shit, like when you're in a space battle and you blow up a ship, it's not going to fall down.
Yeah.
When you open a bomb door in space, the bombs aren't going to fall down.
Correct.
No gravity, people. But that's super minor. I get why they do it. It's still a super fun movie, and they did a great job on all the, you know, the effects with the ships and the blowing ups and the whatevers. But what about you? Any hatred?
Not hatred. No, because actually, like I said, the first 10 minutes, I was like, I hate this movie. I just want it to be over with. And then after the rest of the movie happened, I was just like, oh, I don't care. That part's fine now. I'm okay with it.
You know what? And I actually thought it might be kind of interesting.
And like I said, I mean, Oscar Isaac, for my money, as far as persons on the casting list, is the best actor in the movie. But he's overshadowed by the performances of Mark Hamill and Adam Driver, especially. And then there were others who were also good. The only actress, I didn't really like Laura Dern's character because I just felt like there was no point to her being there, but whatever.
Well, And just real quick, that's why Leia had to stay and why Laura Dern's had to be who she was because this was all about Poe Dameron, this whole movie, to be honest. Because he is now, in my opinion, going to be the commander of the rebellion.
Right.
And that's what this movie was from the very beginning because he takes the reins on that first star battle.
Yep.
They take down the ship and this, that, the other thing, but at the cost of their entire bomber fleet, many lives, blah, blah, blah. He's all, like, stoked because he took out a dreadnought. But, like, yeah, you also got, like, 152 fucking people killed, dickhead.
Right.
So Leia sort of is throughout the movie, he
hinting that he needs to start looking at the bigger picture.
Right. So it's more, and I don't want to say that he grows the most out of all the characters because... Rey, even Kylo and Poe, I think, and even Finn does a little bit. They grow a lot in this movie, setting up not just the next one, I think, but all of them to come. You know what I mean? I think this is going to be more than obviously. I mean, why would you cut the gravy train off right now? You know what I mean? So The point being is that. I think the movie was way more about Poe than people give it credit for.
Yeah.
As even if it was a side story, just setting him up as... And that's why there's so many little things that you have to notice that he sees, I guess. And that's why Leia had to stay, and that's why Laura Dern's character is so stupid. You know, and by stupid, I mean just... There's no reason to be such a secretive bitch about everything. You know what I'm saying? Just tell the guy what's going on. But right. I get it. There's an order...
I just felt like every other character in the movie was like, this is happening. We got to do this. We got to do this. And she's like, hi, I'm in Star Wars. I was like, oh, my God.
I'm in charge now.
I like Laura Dern, but I was like, you suck in this movie. Go
Leia
away.
Used to say, may the force be with you. So.
Nah, she's just basically, she was the Al Gore of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You are hearing me talk.
I agree. I'm just saying she was a necessary evil, just like keeping Leia around and a couple other items that happened. Were necessary for Poe Dameron's growth as being the supreme leader of the resistance.
I just feel like with her character coming on like a third of the way into the movie and then dying at the end, oops, spoiler,
in as grandest fashion possible.
I mean, you could have had some just dude honestly, in sweatpants be like, hey guys, dope. What's going on? Am I flying this thing now?
Could have had Jar Jar Binks accidentally throw the ship in a hyperdrive.
Dude, that scene. You could have had
fucking
actually,
Dark Helmet walk on the screen and be like, hey guys, I'm sick of fucking Mel Brooks. He sucks.
The way they did that scene was actually
awesome.
President Scrooge, that guy's the worst.
Like, scenes that'll really like get your hair to stand up. You know what I'm saying? You're like, that was badass.
Yeah.
No, and it was for sure.
You know what? I honestly, like, before we started recording, I thought it might be interesting to like hit some of the points of what people really hate and tell them why they're wrong. But I almost feel like we don't have to.
What are points that people really hate? I mean, in particular. To be honest, I didn't read like one review.
There's a lot of the that's not my Luke Skywalker. He wouldn't.
Oh yeah,
but you've already touched on that. There's a lot of people that are like, who the fuck is this Snoke guy, dude? There's been 30 plus fucking years between movies. It's no longer the Empire. It's now the First Order. You think things haven't fucking changed a little bit?
So is it a spoiler? Because there was a lot of like. Who's Snoke talk before this happened? Is it a spoiler to say that who gives a fuck?
Yeah. Are they going to do a Snoke Origins? Who fucking cares?
Turns out it doesn't fucking matter who he is.
Right. Just saying. You know, and there's a lot of people who complain about like, okay, so, you know, when Kylo Ren burned down this the fucking Jedi school.
Dude, I thought that was an awesome whole turn of events, right. The whole story about that.
Right, but then all of those people fucking went and started following him and became the Knights of Ren, and he's the leader of them. Where are the rest of them? Why come you never see him running around?
I think I can answer that.
They're off doing some other shit.
No, I think I can answer that even better.
He probably killed them.
He and Rey did. Why wouldn't they be the Imperial Guards that use Force-related weapons?
What did I miss?
I don't know.
Right?
Could be.
I think so.
I have no idea. People complain a lot about they talk about stuff that you never get an answer to. Like, dude, it's a 2-hour movie. Give it time. Mm-hmm. I'm sure. You know, and a lot of people too were bitching like, you know, well, back in the day, you know, Luke Skywalker couldn't kill his own father because, you know, all the shit that Darth Vader did, he couldn't do it. Yet he suspects his nephew might be leaning towards the dark side and he's ready to just fucking slice and dice. Like, well, he fucking didn't.
Well, no, it was, I feel like he explained it very, very well. And when they did both versions of the flashback of that night, it made complete sense to me. But again, I actually am not stupid. So that's my answer to that.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? When they, because Kylo has a version, but that's his version of the evening because he saw what he saw.
Right.
Luke has a version because he saw what he saw as well. And it's just a...
He didn't.
It was a horrible misunderstanding is what it was, to be honest.
Yeah, because people like he's ready to slice and dice. Well, actually, he wasn't. No. That's why he hesitated.
And if you listen to his lightsaber off. And if you listen to his dialogue, he said for a fleeting moment, he thought he knew what needed to be done. But then, you know, he said...
Came to his senses,
yeah, I mean, there's nothing shorter than a fleeting moment. So, for that split millisecond of time, he thought he needed to stop this. And he even alludes to the darkness was darker than he's ever seen, even in fucking Vader or whoever.
Right.
So, not to be taken...
But he knows the mistake he made.
And he's seen some shit over the last 30 years as well.
Right.
You know, so...
There's a lot of shit that people are complaining about, but there's a lot of shit that has happened you don't fucking know about.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you're ever going to find out.
Yeah, cut the guy some slack.
But you might. That's why they're going to keep making these movies. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're going to keep leaving questions unfucking answered.
Word.
True that. Because they're going to leave in options for more movies.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so is there anything else anyone want to touch on before we number and quit?
No, that's pretty much it for me.
All right, I'm going to let you guys number it first because I'm still a little confused on what I'm going to do for it.
Why?
I don't know because I only saw it once and I was yelling at my nephews for at least 10 minutes. Oh, yeah,
you're dumb.
2 minutes.
10 minutes.
Why?
Sporadically throughout. Because they couldn't sit still.
Oh.
They were running around the fucking theater, getting under the chair, going by mom, going by grandma, coming back by me, complaining about how they don't have candy.
Surprisingly, my nephew was actually...
Both of them?
Way into it.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. At one point in time, Ryan had the footrest up, but he was on the ground underneath of it, and Dylan was sleeping in the other chair.
Nice.
Then he would wake up and go sit by Grandma and complain that he has no candy left.
That's nice.
It's like...
I like candy.
If you're just going to sleep and you're going to sit under the thing, that's fine. I'm not going to stop that. Whereas their mother was like, get off the fucking floor. I'm like, dude, they're quiet. They're not running around right now. Because every 5 minutes when Ryan would get up and start trying to run around, I'm like, hey, you don't see any other kid in here doing that shit. Watch them, you know, pay attention. Because then, you know, there's the part with the leaf when he was, you know, tickling her hand. And I'm fucking laughing. Ryan's like, what's so funny? I'm like, pay the fuck attention and you'll
figure right.
out. Wow.
Sit fucking still. History's in the making right now, son.
Nailed it.
Right? So, anywho, I wanted to see it again before we podcasted. I haven't, so I'll let you guys go ahead.
Let's see. To me, overall, 2017 was kind of a bummer year for most movies. I didn't really get into much, and things I saw I didn't love as much as other people did, with the exception of Dunkirk, which was amazing, and Logan as well. Yeah. And this is at that level for me. So I'll stop short of giving it a 9.5 because I do want to see it again myself. But I'll give it a 9. It exceeded basically my initial expectations, which were, if this is a 7, I'll be super happy because I don't even really want to go. It wasn't that I didn't want to see it. It was at that particular time. I was like, I have tomorrow off. I just want to go home and sleep. I don't want to do anything. I'm fucking super tired. And I went to the movie. I'm like, this is going to suck. And then it was over. I'm like, oh my God, that was amazing. I can't believe I stayed awake the entire movie. Because I was super, like, during the trailers, I was like, I can't even make it through these goddamn trailers. And then the movie started, and I'm like, I'm checking out now. Rodney Dangerfield in the house. And then when it was over, I was like, that movie was amazing.
Yeah, so many good parts we didn't even talk about.
Yeah, I think you might like the beginning a little bit more if you see it again in a better context. I am going to give it a 9.5. Because it is the second best Star Wars movie that there is. So, there's that.
I'll stick with Brian, and maybe to be determined at a later date, but I'll stick with a 9 as well. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, like I said, there were a few things I was like, I might have done that a little differently, but I also am not as familiar with Star Wars as your average Star Wars nerd. But, I mean, I'm kind of in the middle. You know, I know more than your average bear, but I don't know as much as, say, like you and Chris.
You know, the problem is, again, we've talked about this in previous podcasts, but, again, if you're walking into this thing planning on not liking it, there's a high probability you won't. If you go into this movie expecting to enjoy it or find out some answers to some stuff and things, you're going to get what you're looking for.
See, I'm not to say that I'm, like, better than everybody, but I totally am. Because, like, I'll go into a movie that I think I'm going to fucking just hate. And I'll go into it with that hatred, and I'll come out being like, that was awesome.
Well, because you'll give something the like benefit of the doubt.
You know, I read all this negative shit about how Bright is the worst movie Netflix ever did. I'm already on the fence with, dude, half, like, they're so hit or miss with their original shit. Like, most of it sucks anyway. Mm-hmm. I thoroughly enjoyed that movie.
No, this is...
I thoroughly thought that Mindhorn was going to be the greatest movie ever fucking made, and that movie was the worst.
Can I just say that the Meyerowitz stories was actually okay?
Sure.
It's the newest the exclusive Netflix Adam Sandler movies.
What is it called?
The Meyerowitz stories. It's not like, dude, go watch it today, but it's like if you're home on a Saturday and you got nothing to do all day and you're literally just Netflix and being a couch potato, like it's you could do worse.
I honestly
you could
think,
do a lot worse, actually. It's pretty good. It's a little long, but it's pretty good.
I haven't gone through the entire library of Netflix movies, but I guarantee you that Bright is the best one I've seen so far. Straight up Netflix.
Yeah, like I kind of figured Ridiculous 6 was going to be dumb. It was way dumber than
even
I thought.
The two Ricky Gervais movies are not the best. Like the David Brent movie, I was super fired up for it. I got 40 minutes in. I'm like, I think I laughed twice. I don't think I like this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I need to finish it, and maybe I'll go back and do so, but I just remember being super pumped for it and then being really disappointed. Yeah. Going, oh, man, this character is not as funny anymore. Maybe Ricky Gervais isn't that funny anymore.
You know, at this point, I'll just go ahead and say that at this point, I'm pretty sure that if you were going to see Star Wars, you already have. And if, you know, for some odd reason, you read online that it's terrible and you're refusing to go see it, don't listen to that bullshit. Just go in, enjoy it, you'll like it. I don't know. Whatever. I feel like I feel like it was just a great movie.
I feel like if you don't want to see it, just don't see it.
Yeah, I mean,
rent it.
Don't wait complain. For it
to come on Cinemax. Who cares? It's just a movie. It ain't gonna change your life.
Just don't be one of those guys that bitch about it before you see it because you don't know what you're talking about.
They might know what they're talking about.
No, they don't.
They might. People's opinions are
not subjective. If you haven't seen the movie. It's not.
Sure, it is. I know. I don't need to see the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants Part 2.
You would probably love it, but you got to watch the first one.
No, I hate it.
No, the first one's great.
I hate it.
No. You can't hate something that you've never seen. That's how it works.
I hate all three of the Pitch Perfect movies.
Well, you might love them. Mike's seen them all numerous times.
I also hate High School Musical.
Mike's one, two, seen and three. Those too.
Actually, I don't think I have seen
those. Oh. Well, whatever. It's basically the kid version of Pitch Perfect. And you love Pitch Perfect. So.
I also hate almost every Channing Tatum movie that exists.
Hateful Eight?
I've seen him like twice.
Yeah, Hateful Eight.
It's not his movie. He's
no, it's definitely not.
He's barely his movie. Are you kidding me?
He's barely in it.
He rules in that movie.
He's so, not bad in it.
Maybe we should do a Hateful Eight. What about we ever the, do what a about podcast this,
what about
on
the second Kingsman? The Golden Circle.
I haven't seen it yet.
Have
we done a podcast on Hateful Eight?
I think we did.
Well, whatever. Like people don't want to listen to this banter.
Yep.
So that was The Last Jedi. Don't believe the hype. Oh, unless you've heard that it rules, then go ahead and believe the hype. So until next time, have a good week, stupids.
Dummies.
Dummies.